Wow, it's great to see you. I'm not sure if I expected so many people. You know, I've just listening to you singing, that recklessness, some people called me reckless. It all started, well, me and my brother, we were out fishing and, well, if you can call it that, we didn't catch any fish, actually. But this guy arrived. They said his name was Jesus. And my brother called me over and introduced me to him. And, well, it was amazing. He actually got in my boat and used it as a place to preach from. I'd heard about this guy, but sort of to encounter him was something a bit different. And I can't remember what he said, but I know I was just impacted by the way that he spoke. After he'd finished, he said, "Why don't you just push your boat out into deeper water?" And he said, "Why don't you cast your nets, but don't do it on that side, do it on the other side." I laughed at him. I said, "You don't look like a fisherman. You certainly don't smell like a fisherman." Anyway, I thought, we haven't got any fish anyway, what's to lose? So we cast the nets on the other side. Oh boy, oh boy. I've never seen anything like it. We caught so many fish. And I suppose the reason that people call me restless is because this guy Jesus said to me, "Well, why don't you follow me?" So we just left everything. Me and my brother, some mates of ours, James and John. And we left everything and followed this guy Jesus. Do you know, even then, right at the start, I knew that there was something a bit different about him. I'm not sure what, but anyway, you know, it must have been something special because we all just packed up our stuff and went off, followed him. We had the most amazing 3 years of our lives. You wouldn't believe the stuff that happened. We were at a wedding. Do you like weddings? I love weddings, especially when somebody else is buying the wine. Some of you must have been there because he ran out quick. I know what some of you are like. Jesus, well, actually, it was his mum said to the servants, "Just do what this guy Jesus tells you to do." And he got them to fill these big stone jars with water. And boy, when they drew it out, it had turned into wine. I've never tasted anything like it. But if you think that's amazing, there was about, well, I don't know how many. I reckon there must have been 10,000. They reckon there were over 5,000 men there. And we were out in the countryside and it was late in the evening and there was nothing to eat. And there was just this little lad. He had, well, they call them loaves, but I wouldn't even call them rolls, really. Just a few bits of bread and a couple of fish. And Jesus took it. And he fed 5,000 people plus, not just with crumbs, but substantial food. I have never, ever seen anything like that in my life. And then there was this dead girl, and he brought her back to life. And if that wasn't enough, there was a guy, one of Jesus' friends. And he died, and Jesus was so upset. I can remember him standing outside of the tomb and weeping. And then he told them to open up the tomb. He'd been dead 4 days. In that heat, I don't know if you've ever smelt a body that's been dead 4 days. Some of you may have experienced a pheasant that's been hung for a few days. And when it comes to plucking and drawing that, well, that's nothing on a dead body. And Jesus just said, Lazarus, come forward. And Lazarus appeared, wrapped in his grave clothes, and he came out. And he was alive. And then there was another occasion when Jesus invited me, James, and John to go up the mountain with him. And before our eyes, Jesus just, well, I can't even begin to explain what it was like. But he just became white and glowing. I knew then, that this was the Son of God. But there were so many other great things that happened. And moving forward, you know, it was time for Passover, and we had met together as a load of disciples and with Jesus, and we were sharing the Passover meal. You know what we have for Passover. You're all good Jewish people, I'm sure. So you'll know the sort of things that we share together. And it was during that time that, again, Jesus said something about dying. In fact, he'd said that a couple of times before. But we didn't really get it. I remember him looking at me and saying, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny that you even know me. Well, you know what I'm like. I told Jesus straight, don't be ridiculous. I'd never deny you. You're my best friend. I know something of who you are. I'd never desert you. I would never, ever deny you. But Jesus said, I would. And that would be marked by a cockerel making a racket. I chuckled to myself because I knew that was never going to happen. I'd never deny knowing Jesus, this great guy. Never. That's one of the memories that still sticks in my mind. But I also remember him taking bread and breaking it, sharing it with us, and a cup of wine. And he said, do this to remember me. I don't know if I really understood what he meant then. That evening still sticks in my mind. Something of my arrogance.
Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same.
I will not boast in anything. It just reminds me of my arrogance and my pride that night. The way that I thought I knew best. I wonder if that's you sometimes. Too arrogant. Pride in your life. Think you know better. I think you were given a piece of paper as you come in. Maybe a few pieces. On one of them, maybe you just want to put those things down where you are boastful, are proud, where you're arrogant. Makes you think, doesn't it? See, as you look at this cross, begins to put it in perspective. We'd just eaten together, we'd been together, What should have been a great celebration actually turned quite somber in some ways. And I remember Jesus saying, let's go to the garden. Oh, we knew what garden he meant. We loved that garden with the olive trees. Just the peacefulness of it. Being able to look out and see so much of Jerusalem. Jesus said that he was going to pray, and he asked us to pray with him. Yeah, some hope. We'd had a long day. I was tired. The others were also tired, and John snores. It wasn't long before John was sound asleep. I can't remember when I fell asleep, but it wasn't long after. But I remember Jesus coming back and waking us and saying, can't you just pray with me for 1 hour? Didn't he know how tired we were? Yet he seemed, I don't know, to be in anguish, I suppose, is the word I'd use. He was not upset. But you know that sort of pain that racks somebody that's not physical, but something's going on in their lives. Jesus went back to pray, and I confess we all fell asleep again. And then all of a sudden we were awoken by this noise. There was this rabble, is all I can say, of men. It was like, they'd got torches and they'd come with sticks, and some of them had got swords. And Judas, one of us, he came up to Jesus and he kissed him. I knew that something was off. And all of a sudden, these men just surrounded Jesus and were arresting him, I think, and taking him away. And we began to, make some protestations, really, saying, what's going on? What are you doing? And these guys sort of just started jostling Jesus, and I lost it. I completely lost it. I got so angry. And I'd got a sword with me, and I took it out, and I just lashed out. I nearly got him. Actually, I hit his head, his ear. And the next thing I knew, there was this ear laying on the ground and blood pouring from this guy's head. I thought, one down. And then Jesus just spoke. Not in anger, with authority, and everything just went peaceful. And even there, in the midst of that confusion and all that was going on, and I could see that they were intent on taking Jesus away and hurting him maybe, that Jesus just stretched out a hand and healed this guy that I'd just chopped the ear off. In some ways, I really felt cheated. And what were they doing with Jesus? And here I was standing up for him, and yet Jesus sort of let them take him away without opposing them. Who did these guys think they were? And then Jesus is not wanting me to stand up for them. I really felt that I'd been cheated out of something that I could have done.
Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?"
I never knew what he meant by that. Drink the cup my Father has given me. So I look back on it now, I was angry. Not that being angry is wrong, but it is when you lose it like I did and just lash out at people. When I think of all the people I've injured in my life, not just physically, Perhaps I've said stuff that's really hurt them, impacted their lives by what I've done and said. It's a good job you can't see what I think sometimes. Because in that way I've hurt so many people. In my anger, in my disappointment. And then it left me feeling cheated out of justice, cheated out of getting revenge for what they were doing. And in some ways it left me feeling really foolish. Here is the one that stands up for Jesus and is getting out my sword and about to do battle, and Jesus says no. Have you lost it when you've been angry? Who have you hurt? Have you felt cheated out of justice? Revenge? Does it make you feel foolish sometimes? You've got another piece of paper. Who have you hurt? Mentally, physically, emotionally. Who have you lashed out in your anger? Or do you just feel cheated out of justice? What's that situation that makes you feel cheated? Where's the hurt you're carrying? You know, we need to confess that too. Maybe you're disappointed by God and what you think he has or hasn't done. We need to confess that all. Well, I left the garden. I'm not sure where the others went, actually. We all sort of just dispersed and headed in our own directions, but I wanted to see what was going on, so I followed discreetly at a distance, and there was something in me that wanted to actually go forward and be right there in the middle, but yet I somehow hadn't got that courage to do so and hung back. And I remember, actually, it was quite a cold night. And I began to feel a bit cold and sort of not sure what was happening, really. And there was this group of people huddled around a fire. So I sort of just got a bit closer, really. I wish I'd never done that. There was this slip of a girl. She looked at me. She said, "Oh, you were with that guy Jesus, weren't you?" And you know, without thinking, I just said, "No, don't be ridiculous." And despite me being cold, I soon moved away, realizing that I'd actually done something I said I wouldn't do. So I moved on and just sort of mingled with some others. It wasn't long before somebody else said to me, "I recognize your accent, you're Galilean. You were with Jesus, weren't you?" Again, I said, "Not on your Nelly. Nothing to do with him." And again, I don't know why I said it or where it came from. Anyway, wasn't long after that that, again, just mingling with others, trying to see what was going on and getting as close as I could, but not too close. And again, another guy dug me in the ribs and he said, "Yeah, you're one of them, aren't you? You were following Jesus." I've seen you with him. I'm ashamed to say that on this occasion I even swore and said, no, man, it's not me. You've got it wrong. And just as I finished saying that, this cockerel made an awful racket. I remember that as that cockerel crew, if that's the right word, crowed, I can remember Jesus looking through the crowd and seeing me. And just his look wasn't anger, wasn't disappointment. It was just a look of love, actually. I knew I'd messed up completely. I just had to get out of there. I know that fishermen should be strong, but the saltiness that was there on my cheeks that day reminded me of meeting Jesus the first time by the sea. And I wept as I realized that I'd done just what Jesus had said. It did me in, actually. I felt such a failure. What sort of person was I who'd betrayed the trust? Too ashamed to be associated with him. Too fearful to say that I knew him. And now, feeling so ashamed of myself. Truth be told, I felt broken.
Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
You denied knowing Jesus? So easy, isn't it, when somebody asks you to say, just ignore the answer and not be willing to speak out and say, "Yeah, I know Jesus." Can you think of a time you've done that? You've got a piece of paper. Or maybe you feel broken. You feel a failure. Maybe you feel ashamed or you've betrayed a trust. Maybe it's just not speaking out when you're given the chance to. See, I thought for me it was too late. Because the next thing that I remember is seeing Jesus being dragged out. His body had been virtually ripped apart from flogging. He had this crown of thorns that was forced onto his head. And they took him with two others, actually. And they crucified the three of them. Jesus was in the middle. And there he was, hanging on the cross. You know, even in those moments, as I looked at the cross, I knew something of all that mess up that I'd made of my life. That arrogance, the pride, the losing it, the anger, the feeling cheated, even the brokenness, the remorse, the guilt. Somehow, as I looked at Jesus, I knew that he was carrying all that on the cross. And in some ways, even then, I knew. Maybe from that look, when he just looked at me with such love and compassion, even in that moment of failure, I knew that he would take that. He would carry it so that I didn't have to. And they nailed Jesus to that cross. I remember watching and waiting. I remember him calling out so many times. One of the things he said was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I thought, they do know what they're doing. But yet somehow, that compassion that I'd seen in him so often was still so evident, even in those dying moments. For me, I sensed it was too late. But it wasn't. And it's not too late for you either to know something of his love, his forgiveness, his cleansing. Yeah, there are so many things that I reflect on when I look at a cross and remember that night, that day. What is it that you need to bring to the cross?
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man."
What do you see when you look at the cross? What do you see when you look at a cross where Jesus suffered for you? Where he carried all that stuff for you? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all. Just want to give the opportunity for people for two things, really. One is to confess. Confess all those things that we've talked about this morning, but maybe other things as well. And you have a spare piece of paper, I think, that you can write stuff down on. And we're going to have a confession, but also as we sing, I'd love you to bring those pieces of paper up and leave them here at the cross. But also, just as a response to that last verse, that the love of God demands a response from us. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, knowing that he loves you, I want to give us that opportunity now, just by saying sorry. And then thank you and asking Jesus to come into your life. So if you'd like to do that, just echo these words in your heart as we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you went to the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. I am sorry for all the things that I have done wrong, especially that those I've written down today. And Lord, I bring them before you as I say sorry, but thank you that through your cross you cleanse and forgive me. I now receive that gift. Come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us confess together. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have failed you, as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and for your help. Our selfishness betrays you. Lord, forgive us. We fail to share the pain of your suffering. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We run away from those who abuse you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy.